This week, we're exploring the world of cybernetics, cyborgs, and enhanced humans. It's the stuff of science fiction, but it has a solid base in reality. Well, to find out more, we're joined by Kevin Warwick, Professor of Cybernetics at Reading University. Hello, Kevin. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Helen. Good to speak to you. Yep.
Fantastic. Well, let's kick things off with a bit of an introduction to what we're talking about this week. So what is cybernetics? What are we on about here?
Well, it is humans and technology linking together. So it's the whole system. It's looking at how it all works together. So lots of practical examples. But as you've spoken about cyborgs, which is more of a, perhaps has been more of a science fiction thing in the past, where the technology and the human are integral, they're not separable, as it were, and the abilities possibly could be much, much more than humans alone.
Perhaps there are things that we might not consider as being sort of cybernetics. I mean, are things like pacemakers and cochlear implants, we're quite familiar with that sort of technology. Does that count?
Well, to some people it would. I mean, it's interesting to me. I'm involved working with Tipu Aziz at the John Radcliffe Hospital, Oxford. They implant the deep brain stimulator. This is a long electrode, actually about four or six electrodes on the end of a long wire, pushed into the centre of someone's brain, into the subthalamic nucleus, right? It's a very small part of the brain. And an electrical pulse is applied there to overcome the effects of Parkinson's disease. It's also being used now for depression and even in some cases for Tourette's syndrome. But what's interesting now is we can also take signals from the electrodes and monitor what's going on in the brain, hopefully to try and predict when people's tremors are going to start, things like that. But it's also giving a new insight in what the disease is. So you could regard it as a cyborg, whatever. In terms of cybernetics, it's giving us more of an insight to actually what's going on in the person's brain.
And what about the more far off things we might actually consider science fiction? No, really mixing machines with people. Where are we at with that kind of thing?
All sorts of possibilities. I mean, one of the things we have done, growing neurons, culturing neurons, and then linking them up to a robot body. I mean, either they're typically rat neurons, because you do all sorts of things with rat neurons, but also human neurons. So we can actually look at how the neurons learn, how they connect together to make the robot move around and avoid objects and things like that. And in that sense, by applying new neurons or stem cells over time, you can try and keep some of the memories, some of the way the robot operates in terms of this biological brain, keep it going, which gives, hopefully, will give a bit of an insight into things like Alzheimer's in terms of when neurons are dying off, can we add new neurons and so on to keep the brain going. So it could help in the long term, but it's fun at the moment and it's experimental. It's very sort of frontline science.
I have to say, one of the things that fascinates me the most is the idea of extrasensory perceptions, the idea of plugging myself in and being able to see or sense things that currently I can't. Yeah. Where are we with those sorts of areas of cybernetics?
Well, I mean, the implant that I have had, which Andy Schwartz, who's on later, he will talk about, maybe I shouldn't spoil it for people, he'll talk more about what the implant can do. But in my case, it was fired into my nervous system and I was able to experience ultrasonic signals. This is like sonar signals, which gives you an indication of distance. So it had ultrasonic sensors on a baseball cap, and literally the output of those were fed in via the implant into my nervous system. So I learned to recognize the pulses over a period of 6 weeks, but then was able to use it to detect where objects were. So it's only a small way. It's like extending the senses, if you like, or having an ultrasonic sense, but it shows that we can do that. And therefore, in the future, having things like infrared, maybe stretching to things like x-ray. So it's not having a different visual, it's not seeing something, but literally it is sensing it in a different way. The human brain is very plastic, very adaptive in that respect.
And how did your brain adapt to having this implant taken out? That must have been quite strange to go back to normal.
I have to. I mean, this is a science program, and I have to say one of the key things was we were absolutely exhausted. This was 3 months of research, and at the end of it, I think think we were in the lab every day. So I was a lab rat in that sense. And I think exhaustion was the overriding thing. It was only something that we were doing in the lab. So sort of from time to time, it wasn't something that I was using in everyday life. I think if it had have been, if I had this ultrasonic sense as a sort of permanent thing for a couple of months, I would have missed it, yes. But it was something we were really just experimenting with in the lab. So it wasn't such a problem when it got taken out. It was the end of the experiment. We wanted to look at what had happened to the implant and what had happened to the nervous system and things like that. So that was part of the experiment, part of the trial was that as well.
And looking ahead, where are the big challenges that lie ahead of you in terms of all of this research you're doing? Would you say it's a scientific barriers that you have to break through, or is it the ethics, actually? I mean, that must presumably throw up a whole lot of issues tangled up with the idea of, you know, part people, part machines, and where that's taking us.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. That power is an issue. How do you power implants? How, if something's in the body, can we use body power? And there, I think possibilities with wireless transmission of power, that's tremendously exciting at the moment. So this is something Nikola Tesla spoke of. At the moment, if you in your home, you've got power provided by wires, the possibilities of wireless power, that's certainly something we're researching. That could, if it can be not just affect implants, but could affect vehicles. We can have powered vehicles, remotely powered vehicles, so it's tremendously exciting. But I think ethically, almost self-imposed ethics are one of those things. You don't want to injure somebody, you don't want to cause problems, but at the same time, ethics to do with human enhancement, which is a possibility, extra memory, new ways of communication, is very difficult to decide what are the ethical aspects, because it could be commercial opportunities, but it could also affect an awful lot of people.
Yes, it's all very exciting to think what might lie ahead and what the options might be. But I think we'll leave it there for now, Kevin. Okay. That was a fantastic intro to the world of cybernetics. That was Kevin Warwick from Reading University.